Welcome to The Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Coming up, a best of program featuring Paul Page, an interview that Mark did for Independence Day last year. However, before we get to that rebroadcast, let's get a message from Mark Becker regarding a statement he made last week on the show.
Hey everyone, Mark here. Hey, if I make a mistake that might cast doubt in the hearts and the minds of our listeners when it comes to especially stuff like the election, I do want to get that corrected because that's true to my integrity and it's true to the integrity of the show. Last week, in the heat of discussion, I incorrectly said that Kamala Harris got more votes than Donald Trump. She didn't. She got about 2 million less. However, the point I was trying to make was that Donald Trump keeps saying that he has this mandate. He doesn't. The fact is, the majority of the country voted for someone else. And that was the point that I was trying to make. So I'm sorry if that caused any confusion, but you know, on this show, it's not about left versus right, it's about right versus wrong. And I wanna make sure that we get that one right. So thank you for listening, and looking forward to seeing you down the road. We'll see you next week.
Oh my goodness. You're back for another exciting, wonderful, historic episode, I'm going to say on this one, of The Rational Revolution. You know, this show typically talks about news and current events and all these types of things, but occasionally I want to go outside the racing line here, if you will, and that is absolutely a foreshadowing. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit and set this up. I have been a huge fan of auto racing since I've been 7 years old. Cars has been a big part of my youth, and now I run a car dealership, so that's part of that is ingrained in who I am. I do race myself. I compete on the local dirt track circuit in a street stock. Let me tell you what, that's a hell of a time. Growing up, my favorite driver was the Tide car of Ricky Rudd. And that was a blast to watch. But then my eyes were opened and I found a series called Championship Auto Racing Teams, or CART. It was an open wheel series that kind of is like a modern day IndyCar. I competed with IndyCar. And my favorite drivers morphed from Ricky Rudd to people like Alex Zanardi, Greg Moore, Juan Montoya, Dario Franchitti. Some of those names you might know. And this series had the best drivers in the world. They raced in iconic tracks like here at Road America, Michigan International Speedway, streets of Long Beach. They even raced at an airport in Cleveland, which was my favorite track, by the way. And the series itself was larger than life. And it was really cool because my brother and I bonded over each one of the races. We lived and died by the results of that week's race. And then we, of course, counted down to the start of the next race. And we hung on every word that came from the microphone of the timeless and legendary broadcaster, Paul Page, who now joins us today on The Rational Revolution. I cannot tell you how honored I am to have you here, Paul. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great to be here. That was quite an introduction. Those were good days, too, weren't they?
They were. I mean, it was such an incredible time to be a fan of motorsports. And you know, like what you've done in not only motorsports but broadcasting in itself is remarkable. You know, you did everything from motorsports to the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, for God's sakes, I found out. But I kind of want to, you know, you are an iconic name in racing.
Thank you. Thanks for
you to say. And, you know, you were the voice behind some of the most famous moments in the sport. You know, how did you get involved in broadcasting?
Well, I actually got more involved in racing first. I went to the Indy 500 when I was 15 years old, and I just thought, man, I got to do something that involves this.
Okay.
So cool. And, then when I was away in the Army, I had kind of an interest in broadcasting, and I'd done a little something in high school, but when I was in the Army, I actually went to a school for military broadcasters.
No
when
kidding.
I got then back to Indianapolis, I I got a job. I'm a small job at a small radio station. At the same time, I was working for George Vignotti at his shop. And so I had the best of both worlds going for me. But, of course, the job at Vignotti's was kind of a quid pro quo. You can come to the races as long as you come to the shop and work. But one thing led to another, and I became, I was primarily doing radio news, which I really enjoyed, at a station in Indy called WIBC, which was the flagship station for the Speedway Radio Network, Indianapolis Speedway Radio Network. And one thing led to another. I met the guy who created that network, Sid Collins, and yes. He and I became close friends. And he started grooming me to be a play-by-play sportscaster of motorsports. And when he passed away, the job came to me. It was really that simple. And, you know, I just came to it with passion. I wanted everybody to feel about it the way I felt about it. So that's how I tried to portray it in a way that would say that this is cool and these people are worth every moment of your attention.
Yeah, and, you know, and for those who don't know Sid Collins, he was the person who coined the term the greatest spectacle in racing in reference to the Indianapolis 500, which I think it absolutely is all of that. So racing was the end goal. That was a question that I was going to ask you. So it was something that you wanted to get into broadcasting, but you wanted to get into broadcasting specifically to call motor races.
Right. There was actually a period of time there when I actually thought I was a race driver.
And, really?
I raced in the SCCA in a Formula Ford.
That's right.
In fact, I took my driver's school, my first driver's school at Road America.
Oh, no kidding.
And at the time, I didn't know anything about Road America, despite the fact that I'm a military brat, and my last place that I lived with the family was on the north side of Chicago.
Okay.
So I really should have known about it, but I was more focused on Indy and stuff like that. But I knew I wanted to try to be a race driver, and I ended up going to the SCCA, and you had to take two driver schools. One was here in Indianapolis, and the other was Road America. And Augie Papps was our chief instructor. Just pulling up to Road America and saying, oh, my goodness, look at this place.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And it really, really was an enjoyable time. And I love going back there. But anyhow, my 7-year career of racing Formula Fords and SCCA netted me, I think, 3 pewter cups.
Oh, nice.
And certainly no cash.
And, no.
And I said, you know, this is really not for you. You can drive fast, which I could, but I could not compete strongly against other guys right alongside of me. I mean, I did okay, but
I would imagine.
You probably know the same feeling. You know, you're there, you're fast, but you're not quite fast enough.
Right. I would imagine that gives you a lot of perspective on what it took to call a race. You know, actually going through the turns and seeing what the drivers go through.
Yeah, especially since a lot of the drivers out of that era, well, still many of them today, come through the Formula Ford ranks on their way to the pros. And with the Formula Ford of that day, with no aerodynamics, you really had to know how to, I call it, love the car.
Mm.
You have to be able to get it in and out of corners smoothly. It didn't have any real power to speak of, so you learn management of power, and it was a great car to learn how to race in.
Yeah. This past weekend, actually, I went to my first SCCA race, and it was the June Sprints at Road America that we had.
Oh, my God. Is that the greatest or what?
Oh, my gosh. Well, and so a friend of mine, he operates and he manufactures and like soups up Mini Cooper B-Spec. So a B-Spec for listeners is like front-wheel drive, like a Ford Fiesta or, you know, and they take these cars and strip them all down and make them little mini rocket ships. And I called our local SCCA guy who does all the testing and everything. And I said, well, I have racing experience. So, you know, do I have to still go to the school? And I didn't hear back because I called them on that Thursday, and that was June Sprints, which is, I mean, hundreds of cars was there.
Yeah.
And then I went to my first event, and I was just like gobsmacked by, you know, the difference in what I do racing in circles on a dirt track to what it takes to do that, even at that low level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so
I will tell you a story since you mentioned June Sprints, which of course everybody wanted to go to.
Oh yeah.
And in the day we have, I guess what we were driving, you call Club Ford today.
Sure.
And the, our field was the full subscription for Road America, 80 Formula Fords.
Jeez.
And, so there is the bridge going up the hill, right?
Yep.
And so the rule in SCCA was green to the front row is green to the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you qualified, it's like in the 20th row or something, you wouldn't see the green flag when it came out.
Right.
You're coming up the hill.
Yeah.
So we got a guy to get on the bridge, and he had a little bagel orange disc. And as soon as the green flag came out, he's on the bridge, and he starts waving that. And so we can see it. So now we're passing all these guys who don't know about that. that's a kind of a Roger Penske move. Isn't
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
We read the rules as closely as we could.
Yeah, that's right. And you followed them. That's right.
Yep.
It's within the rule. It was, I met a guy that was on the road to Indy, and his name is Bobby mm-hmm. Eberle. I'm sure he'll listen to this. He's a great guy. And he was on a quest to become the oldest rookie to ever qualify for the Indianapolis 500. And he ultimately didn't do
it.
Yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, he gave me like backstage passes, if you will, to when he was in Pro Mazda. Yeah. So uh-huh. that's yeah. like two rungs down from IndyCar. And that was a number of years ago. But to see those cars going full speed up that hill towards the green flag at Road America was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in my life. I hope yeah. people can do that at some point, because it really is remarkable. And then this past weekend, we went to, for the first time, I've been to Road America a number of times, but I've never been to Siepkins. And that is a very famous racing bar, and they have like autographs. I think Paul Newman autographed the wall. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of Mario Andretti, and he autographed that. And so, you know, it's so cool because, you know, I took my boys there, and they got to see the sights and hear the engines. And you know, I hope that they have a love for motorsports instilled in them, because then, you know, they get to go to these events and see the wonder and the awe that is performance race cars doing truly incredible things.
Yep.
Yeah, it is something. And it really was a remarkable experience. And we're going to continue this discussion on the other side with Paul Page. We're going to talk about how the industry of broadcasting works in motorsports. We'll be right back.